of heights to the depths of the sea.
Verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. It's important for us to proclaim Christ to anyone and everyone. Are you willing to share that truth? Are you willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Our scripture today says, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." A disciple must confess Jesus publicly before men. If we will not be public about our allegiance to him, we cannot expect him to be public about his allegiance to us. Each individual Christian life should supply enough evidence that can be seen by the world that they are indeed believers in Jesus Christ. In return, Jesus will acknowledge us as belonging to him before his Father. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's lesson.
Mark's gospel tells us that but whoever causes, this is chapter 9, verse 42, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him than a millstone were hung about his neck and he be thrown into the midst of the sea. So if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, I wouldn't recommend if you got a problem with theft or something to cut it off because your heart is really the problem, right? Not so much your limbs. But that's how serious we need to take sin. We need to take it seriously enough that we might be willing to do that, but it's the heart that needs to change. It's not the hand. So if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed, meaning in heaven maimed, hopefully you repented, rather than having two hands to go to hell. And the Greek word there is Gehenna. It's speaking of that yet future time. Not Hades right now, but Gehenna. The final resting place for all of the wicked dead. See, when a wicked person dies today, they go to hell, they go to Hades. But there's coming a time, and we'll look at this, that God is going to take everyone who is in Hades, and they are going to be sent to the lake of fire. Everlasting torment, everlasting damnation, the lake of fire. And do you think that God is pleased with that? Do you think God is happy about that? The Word of God is replete with phrases. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He'd much rather they live and come to Christ and repent. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it says, "Then he will also say to those," and this is Jesus speaking of this separation of the nations. We call it the sheep and the goats judgment right at the beginning of the millennial reign, or at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back, however you want to think about that. Right at that point, he's going to have a separation of the nations. And he will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire." He's going to send them to Gehenna. The fire, notice, prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even prepared for man initially. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Can you see the heart of God? It was really for them. But those who follow them also go to the same place. And notice in the passage in Matthew 25, verse 41, that it's an everlasting fire. And then Jesus, in verse 46 of Matthew 25, he says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And then in Matthew 13, Jesus speaking on the parable of the wheat and the tares, what does he say? Therefore, as the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, speaking of that final place, Gehenna, the lake of fire. Back in our text there in verse 28, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body. Hell in this verse is literally the word Gehenna in the Greek. And it's a reference to a trash dump at the southern end of Mount Zion in Jerusalem. It's there today. Actually, there's a highway going around it now because there's the Temple Mount, and then there, right out, there's a sliver of land called Mount Zion, and then right to the south of that, there is a road, actually. But back in the days of David and those kings, that used to be a landfill, and they used to burn children to Molech. They would sacrifice children postpartum. They would take the child and lay them into a molten image of Molech. Postpartum abortion. And it was always on fire, this place, because they would burn their trash. And they called it the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. And it was also called Gehenna, because it was a place of fire all the time. And so Jesus now is speaking of Gehenna, the yet future. And Josiah, perhaps the greatest reformer king in Judah, being a man who loved God with all of his heart, seeing the breakdown of Jerusalem and all of the decrepitness from Manasseh's reign, and just seeing the horrible idolatry, what does Josiah do? Just with a great heart for God, he tears all that stuff down. And it tells us in 2 Kings 23:10 that he defiled Topheth. Topheth is that area that I was speaking of in the southern part around there where the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. That was called Topheth. And he broke it down. He defiled it that no man might make his son or his daughter pass through the fire to Molech anymore. He defiled it. So it's referred to the lake of fire also in the eternal abode for the wicked. In Revelation chapter 20, actually turn with me, if you would, to Revelation. I share with you a lot of scriptures up here, but I want you to see this. We've spent so much time in this. There's so much here. But this is so important to understand. Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11. So at this time in Revelation, Jesus has come back to the earth. He's placed the false prophet and the Antichrist into Gehenna, the lake of fire. He's already placed Satan, and we'll see this in a few minutes. He's already placed him in Gehenna. But notice what it says, the great white throne judgment for those who have rejected Christ. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. Notice, these are their deeds, and you will see this. Books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And so the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death, or Thanatos, and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged at that great white throne. They were brought, they were resurrected, they were brought up from these places, and were cast into the lake of fire after their judgment. And this is the second death, the Bible tells us. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It doesn't sound like a good thing, does it? But see, that's what's coming for the wicked dead, for those who have rejected Christ. Now, this is not an easy thing to say, but we have to say it. I don't know about you, but what got me into the kingdom of God was a fear. I had a mortal fear of God. Someone shared with me that my sin was going to lead me straight to hell. And I believed it. In my heart, I knew it. And it was the fear of God that saved my soul. So I'm not afraid, and neither should any of us be afraid to tell the harder thing, because that harder thing, someone had the guts enough to tell me, Rob, what you're doing right now, and a friend of mine pointed out some sin issues in my life, and he goes, those things are going to send you straight to hell. And I'm like, what? I thought I was a decent guy. Not according to God's standard. You're a nasty, rotten scoundrel. And you're going to go to hell if you don't repent and give your heart to Christ. It got the job done. I went up to my room that very night and I cried and I wept and I begged God in tears, convulsively, on the floor. I remember this so well. I remember the pine floor that I was soaking with my tears, begging God to forgive me. It worked. The fear of God. Don't be afraid to share the difficult things. It's the fear of God that brings many. It brought me, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid to tell people. Now, obviously, we have to do it carefully and lovingly. And the disciples did too. They needed to share these truths, and they did it in a way that wasn't like, you know, waving a Bible and you better give your heart to Christ. You know, it was none of that. It was none of that. The delivery is so important, but we do need to tell the truth. So heaven or hell, Hades right now is a temporary holding place for the wicked dead until death, and Hades, this holding place for the wicked dead, it will ultimately be sent to the lake of fire. And I'd like to show you, I've actually got on my slide, it's a slideshow of hell, and that's really what it is. I want to show you something, and I'm sure you're all excited about this. But on the right is, this is a demonstration to see visually what the Bible has told us in Revelation 19 and 20, so you can see what is happening. So on the right side, you have this red circle called the Lake of Fire, the ultimate resting place for the wicked dead. And then we have the abyss, this place in hell, this compartment somewhere. We don't really know. It's called the bottomless pit. But notice what happens. The beast and the false, the Antichrist and the false prophet, it tells us after Christ comes back that those two are cast into the lake of fire or Gehenna immediately. And then after that, what happens? Satan himself is thrown into the bottomless pit or the abyss, which is probably a compartment of Hades somewhere. And then what happens? It tells us that at the end, because Satan is cast into the abyss until the thousand-year reign is completed, but then he must be released again. And so in Revelation 20, verse 10, at the end of the millennial reign, what happens? He too gets sent into the lake of fire, or Gehenna, the eternal resting place. And so now the false prophet, the Antichrist, Satan, are in the lake of fire. And then what does it tell us in Revelation 20, verse 13? We just read it, that death and Hades, everyone who has gone to hell, as far as people are concerned, are in this place. They will be sent to, ultimately, the lake of fire, which is called the second death. We would call it Gehenna. Jesus refers to it in our text this morning as Gehenna. This is the last final place. So what happens? Death and Hades are sent to Gehenna, the final abode, and then all of those who are not written in the book of life. So it all ends up at Gehenna, at the lake of fire. See, a believer, when they die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to glory with him. Our body may go into the ground, but our soul, our spirit, it goes to heaven. But when a wicked person dies now, they go to Hades. Yes, it's a torment place. It's not a happy place at all. But that's not it for the unbeliever. Because at the end of that thousand-year reign, Hades and death are going to be cast into the final resting place for the wicked, and that is the lake of fire, often called Gehenna. Jesus when he used hell in verse 28, or I think it's verse 28, and 28 there, he's speaking of Gehenna, the eternal resting place. That's where it's going to happen. He has the ability to destroy both body and soul. But it's going to be eternal. Eternal condemnation. And a body that can withstand it forever. And see, I can tell by how silent you are, this is a real drag. It really is. But God loves. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But we choose whether we are going to spend an eternity with God the Father or whether we're going to end up in this place. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to that place. And I don't have to, and I won't go that place because I've been saved, and I know that I'm going to heaven because of his work, not mine. Follow me? And so give your heart to Christ. Give your heart to Christ. Now, we're going to go quickly through the next part of this, and then we'll take communion together. And notice what Jesus says in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? And the answer is no. He knows exactly what's going. He said in Matthew 6, verse 26, he said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more worth more value than they are? But your very hairs of your head are all numbered. And, you know, we lose hair every day, and we have no idea that it's being lost. But God knows. And if something's so insignificant like a hair on my head, he's got numbered, how much so for the real important things of my life? Oh, so much more important, aren't they, than just the hairs of my head? Something insignificant like that. Many of you have, you're losing hair all over this place today. Thank God we vacuum. I'm just kidding. But we do. And we don't even know what's happening. And it's so insignificant. God goes, I know. That was hair number 10,145. But I care more than just the hairs of your head. I care about you. I care about you. You're a soul. You're a person that I've made. I've created in my own image. I've got such a great plan for your life. And you know, God knows every heartache that you've ever had. He knows how many nights you've cried yourself to sleep because of your sin and the consequences of your sin. Even now, he knows of the wayward child or children who has continued in rebellion that you have. They're ruining their lives while you watch from a distance, and they've shunned your overtures of truth and love. He's aware that your marriage is on the rocks and that you're dying inside, hoping that God opens the heart and the eyes of your spouse. He is aware of your fears concerning your finances and future stability. He's aware of your fears concerning the state of the country, politics, and morality, and justice, and law, and accountability. He's aware of all these things. And what does he say? Do not fear, therefore. You are worth more value than many sparrows. Notice that Jesus is placing the order of living things in their proper order. Remember in Genesis when God created everything? He didn't create man first, did he? No, he had to create man last. Because before he puts man into this place, he has to create things that will sustain man. He created the heavens and the earth and the water and the plants and the birds and all of the beasts of the field. He created all those things. And finally, lastly, on day six, he creates man. Because man needs those things to survive. Everything in its order, and the capstone of his creation is man. The Bible calls us his workmanship. In the Greek, poema. You're his workmanship. He cares. And you are more important than any of the animals. You are more important than the plants. And so when we kill animals to live, you know, we got to do it humanely, you know, for food and stuff like that. But he does it because you are more important than they are. But he loves them and he takes care of them as well. Do you follow me? But somehow in our culture today, they place animals on a greater plane than man. I'm not advocating that animals should be treated poorly or tortured. No, not at all. But God did create them for us to live. A man will be fined for mishandling his dog or treating his dog poorly, but a child who survives an abortion attempt in a hospital can be denied health care to survive it after they come out of the womb. They tried to abort it in the womb. It's still alive. It's still hanging on to life. And as soon as the kid comes to life, now they're developing laws where they just say, well, just kill it. Get rid of it. Oh, wait, it's a female. It's a male. Made in God's image. They don't care about life, but God forbid you touch the dog, but kill the human being. Incredible hypocrisy. Incredible evil. God loves the sparrow. He made it. And he says, aren't you more worth than those sparrows? And those sparrows are insignificant to us, but to God they are not. And yet he calls those things to serve us. We have to be good stewards, no doubt. We have to be kind. But God knows what's more important, the animal or the creation or the one who he created it for. We have to understand that biblically, because today everything is going to pot. Everything is going to pot. What does it tell us in Romans? That professing, and this is speaking of the ungodly man today, professing to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature or the creation rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Aren't we seeing that today? Anything but a person. For heaven's sakes, don't touch the spotted owl, but kill the kids. Do you realize how devilish that is? Do you realize how nonsense? It doesn't even make sense. It's the worst possible thought, and yet it's embraced. Shame on America. Shame on every institution and doctors who perform this stuff. And shame on administrators. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat who do this stuff. Shame on them. Democrat or Republic or independent. They serve the creature rather than the creator. And God says, I put the creation at your fingertips, Adam. It's to serve you. Now give them a name because you're to have dominion over them. But people today put the animal plane above man, and yet God made man the capstone. Do you follow? And what's happening today? And then we wonder why we're in such hell. I don't think hell is Gehenna. I think hell is America. Not quite, of course. I'm being facetious and maybe God in the end will, instead of sending them to Gehenna, the lake of fire, I'll just send you to America. They're engaging in everything. Verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. It's important for us to proclaim Christ to anyone and everyone. Are you willing to share that truth? Are you willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ?
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.